The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Minister for Transport, Climate, Environment and Communications, leader of the Green Party, Eamon Ryan, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you.
Are you encouraged or otherwise by COP27?
I don't know yet. I'll be going myself there on Sunday, and because it goes on for 2 weeks. The second week is where a lot of the negotiations take place, so I'll be part of the European Union team looking at that. You can't be encouraged, because the truth is we're not on target to meet our emissions reductions globally. And the what John Kerry said yesterday at the summit, we'd need to treat this like a wartime situation, which is what it is, war against the destruction that climate change will cause. I think the key issue is going to be how we do provide finance and support for developing countries to allow them to transition away from the use of fossil fuels and to protect them from the effects of climate change that's already happening. Pakistan, there's 135 million people are homeless because of the flooding that took place there. Mm-hmm. It's just beyond compare what's already happening. The Horn of Africa, those countries like Somalia, 5 years of drought. And so it's already happening at scale and at a speed that we didn't maybe expect. So, but it's the only way we can address it. It's a global problem. So if you have to bring the 200 countries together and...
Now, you know, some countries, you can point the finger and say, well, absolutely, you guys should be paying up for the misfortunes of those countries you mentioned, Pakistan and Somalia and other countries in the Horn of Africa. But, you know, we were very slow to industrialise. We haven't really. We almost skipped the Industrial Revolution. We burn a bit of turf, all right. But it's the Americans, the British, the massive German industries of the 19th and 20th centuries, the Chinese in the 20th and 21st centuries. These are the people causing the problems in terms of global, you know, the quantity of global emissions. They should be more putting their hands in their pockets than us.
We all have to play our part. And Ireland, while as a small country, our emissions are the equivalent to 400 million of the poorest people in the world. So we're not insignificant. And I think that, but there's another way of looking at this. The change, the leap we need to make won't happen on a purely punitive, finger-wagging, shaming basis. It'll only work where it's systemic change towards a better economy, a better way of running our energy system, our transport system, our agricultural system and so on. And that perspective, I think, changes your... If you could be saying, oh, well, why should we do anything if China isn't doing it or America isn't doing it or another country?
But the point is, if we do it and they don't, it makes no difference.
No,
the climate emergency... We're a small country. If we do all the things we do, you know, change our agriculture, cut down our emissions, don't burn turf, restore the bogs, carbon sequestration... It's tiny in comparison. If the Chinese keep doing what they're doing, the Americans keep what they're doing, although they are going in the right direction, I suppose. But if the industrial companies keep on burning and burning and burning, no matter what we do, it'll be too little.
True. But what it would mean for our country is that we would actually be a better, more secure place, because making the switch for us to clean renewable energy is also relying on our own resources, not being, as we are at the moment, held to ransom by distant governments. And secondly, the benefits we would bring is not just on a global environmental level, it would be local. Our current transport system is not working. It's not serving our purposes. I don't know if you noticed this yesterday, but Pat, the traffic's back to very significant pre-COVID levels.
Absolutely.
Dublin gridlocked yesterday. I was out around town a fair bit and it got stuck because there were just too many cars. So making the switch where we reduce that, or we switch to a better transport system.
But there's more to it than that, though, because the council has erected an effective obstacle course along many routes that cars use. And I know that they don't want cars to come in, so the obstacle course is there. But at the same time, I understand too many cars, but the public transport system is not quite ready to take them all.
And that's why it's a no-regrets option. If we do build the public transport, it's good not just for climate, but also good for ourselves. But thirdly, just in the big areas of transformation, in Irish agriculture and land use and forestry, the real benefit of making the leap on climate is... Well, firstly, that's what we trade on. We trade on an urgent green brand. But secondly, it also helps us address the biodiversity crisis we're in. We need to restore nature. We need clean water. We need clean air.
That's you know, basic. You saw this story in the front of one of the papers about the fellow with the wolves in a private domain. You mentioned that was a possibility, and you could see in places where deer are rampant, basically, because they've no natural predator other than the motor car, that wolves might put manners on the deer.
Yeah, no, elsewhere in the world, like the Yellowstone thing is a famous example. I don't see that as being central or happening in this country in any time soon. I think there is a wider issue in our country around our water pollution being an issue we have to address. What the EPA are saying, we've gone from 500 pristine water systems down to 20 in the last 30 years, I think it is. What they say is, look at the southeast.
And that's agriculture predominantly.
And sewage being pumped out into the water system. But yes, it requires a change in agriculture. What they say in the southeast of the country, where agriculture is more intensive, is that our rivers, the big great rivers, the Nore, the Shore, the Barrow, the Blackwater, are saturated in nitrogen. And we need to change that around for our own sake, as well as for our climate's sake.
It seems to me there's something wrong here where so much nitrogen is being put on for growth reasons that there's such an excess that it leaches off into the rivers. That's wasted nitrogen.
That's exactly what happened. But you know what we're seeing, Pat? And again, this is where climate change action will only work where it's actually towards a better system. There's an example in that. I'm getting into the technicalities here now, but the war in Russia has not just put up the price of fossil fuels for transport and for heating, it's also put up the price of fertilizers and restricted the availability of them. For that reason, we've seen this year actually, if by a 14% reduction in the use of fertilizers. They're nitrogen fertilizers. They're made of fossil fuels. And actually, we had a good year in grass growth. We showed that you can actually develop an Irish agricultural system without that excessive use of nitrogen fertilizers. And one of the other changes we're going to make, and this is the real key one, I think, environmental one. We grow grass is probably the mainstay of our agricultural system and still will be. If we switch away from the current system, which is using those nitrogen fossil fuel fertilizers to pump up ryegrass, single species, no biodiversity or very little, that's actually a very vulnerable system because those ryegrass systems have very shallow roots. They're very vulnerable to either high flood events, which are going to increase in climate change, or high drought events, the likes of what happened in summer 2018. So we can switch to what's called multi-sward grass system. That's where you would plant a whole range of different plants. The benefit of it is it's much deeper roots. And those deep roots survive in flood conditions and they survive in drought conditions. And you get a better performance, you get a better output, and you reduce your fertilizer use by about 80%. So it's those sort of win-win solutions we need to turn to that give change at scale and which are bringing the Irish farming community, their skills and expertise in grass growing is what they'll be paid for. And we get a premium for it, okay. A premium in butter, a premium in Baileys, a premium in a whole range of different products. We won't get that premium if we continue down a polluting non-origin green route.
Now, some of the questions coming in, what about if I sell my solar power back to the provider, am I taxed on it?
No, and you can currently do it. There's eight, I think, of the supply companies, all the main supply companies doing that. We have about 44,000 houses now, I think, generating their own power. It's primarily to actually reduce your bill on your own use. That's the real benefit of when you put in solar panels. And it really makes sense to do it. It's another example of change we can make that actually is not punitive. It's actually good for us, good for our homes.
So if you generate solar power, someone said on the text here, it's cheaper than buying a battery to use the grid, if you like, as a battery.
Well, I think a lot of people might use batteries as well. I think
you see the problem with the battery. The good thing about a battery, it is expensive to buy, but you're getting your power and you're substituting for the charge that the retailer would normally charge you. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you sell to them, they don't give you the same rate of money as they are charging you for a unit.
They don't. This is a wartime situation, and the scale of change we need to make against climate, the scale change we need to make means that we're going to have to really do very dramatic things. Some of the things that happened just in the last year, to give people a sense of hope. Well, firstly, people can now sell power back to their supply companies. That usedn't be possible. Secondly, we're engaged in consultation, particularly for farmers or industries where there's a much larger roof, that use of solar can scale up to about 5 megawatts without having to go to an auction system, and in other words, without having to go into the market. And that provides huge opportunities, particularly for businesses and farmers to be part of selling it back. It has to be combined on the domestics, and we've changed the planning rules, so not so restrictive in terms of how much solar panels you can put up. So that's when the batteries start to come into play, where you do have potential surplus and excess. It's a whole myriad of those smaller changes that make it easier for people to do the right thing. thing is what we need to do in the next 2 to 3 years to meet our climate targets and to protect our economy and improve our homes.
Interesting, apropos of the big polluters in the world, President Biden last week talked about shutting down the coal plants all across America and having wind and solar. But in response, one of the key senators on the Democratic side, Joe Manchin, who might once again hold the balance of power in a new Senate, he called the remarks offensive and disgusting, accusing President Biden of taking job losses lightly.
I don't agree with him. And maybe, Pat, can I give one example? It just comes from I was down in Shannon last week. We launched a study in Shannon Foran's port. But maybe to use an example there of what does that mean for here in Ireland. The Shannon Estuary, if you know it, it's where we have a lot of energy infrastructure. You've like Tarbert Power Station, Money Point on the other side of the estuary. We have the port, and then you've got large energy users like Agonish Alumina, Irish Cement, Wyatt, Shannon Airport. What we're going to do is Money Point currently burns coal. That has to stop. By 2025, we're going to have to stop burning coal in Money Point.
It often is, on a still day, a huge component of what goes into our grid.
It is. Well, at the moment, as we're speaking, I think about two-thirds of our power, literally all the lights here, two-thirds have been powered by Irish wind. And that's increasing all the time. We have very high levels of wind compared to other countries. But Money Point will need to stop burning coal. It will continue to use as a backup fuel oil for a period. But the real potential development there is for us to build out the quayside in Money Point. And it has an incredible location. It has a 20-metre draft. So the quayside has one of the deepest, world's deepest deep water port facilities available. Literally one, I think it's only Rotterdam in Europe has a similar capability. We start assembling offshore wind turbines there. We start shipping them out into the Atlantic and we bring the power ashore. When you bring the power ashore to Money Point and those other locations I mentioned, you're on the electricity grid. That's a very strong grid, so you don't need to build new pylons. You can convert it to hydrogen using electrolysis, and therefore you've got a continuous, secure, safe supply. It's a bit like a battery for the house. Sure. When the wind blows, you have it. When it doesn't, you revert to the hydrogen.
Okay, but in the meantime, and I'm looking at a statement from Fine Gael Minister of State Patrick O'Donovan saying, we've got to accept that gas is going to be a transitional fuel, and we've got to make sure we have an adequate supply of gas, but you've set your sights against any kind of LNG terminal.
No, we will need gas as an interim fuel. It's absolutely correct. And then we transition from its use to that green hydrogen natural gas, which is the alternative. That'll take time. But yes, we need gas on the interim basis. Yes, we also will need storage. We've carried out a major study within our department looking at what's the best way of doing that. It can't be in breach of our climate limits. We've committed within Irish law and European law and globally in the Paris Climate Agreement to halve our emissions this decade. So whatever we're doing on gas, yes, we will need new gas-fired generation, but it will use less gas. We need gas storage, but it has to be for security reasons, not for commercial expansion reasons.
But that's where we're at the moment with the war in Ukraine.
In what way do you mean that by that?
To give us a secure supply of energy that we need gas storage.
Yeah, well, I mean, we do have. I mean, in truth, the war of Ukraine in the gas side affects us less than other European countries because we're connected to the UK grid. And there, the power supply mainly comes from Norway and half of it from the UK, as well as 25% of ours coming from Carib. So we're not at risk in the same way from other European countries. But at the same time, it makes sense for us on a security basis to have gas storage. But that has to be within our climate limits, not breaching that other war front that we have to face.
Finally, I should ask you about, cabinet formation. We're told that your ministers will remain as is, change of portfolio.
We're 2 years in. I think we're doing a good job. Our ministers are showing real capability and facing really tough portfolios. I think our focus in this difficult time is to heads down, deliver for the Irish people and continue doing that to the best of our ability.
Okay, so you hope to keep the same jobs. You're negotiating, so it'll happen, I'm sure. Yeah. The final thing is about the Taoiseach's remarks about looking for support transfers from Fianna Fáil in the next election. Are you going to fly solo and maybe make a deal with Sinn Féin if the numbers add up?
The politics around climate requires everyone to be behind it. And for our party, that means we work with everyone and work positively.
So if Sinn Féin needed, say, 5 or 6 green votes to form a government, would you do it?
We need the entire country to be behind this move. We will work with all the parties that the people elect. It's up to the people to decide who they put before the door. We will work with them because this is a time not to sit on the bench, not to sit on the fence, but to actually take climate action seriously. And we work with all parties to make that happen.
Green Party leader Eamon Ryan, Minister for Transport, Climate, Environment and Communications. Thank you very much for joining us. It's all we've time for. A reminder that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Newstalk app powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on Newstalk.